Good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us again tonight. And last week we finished Jack and Melda's book concerning the last seven letters of the Apostle Paul. And I wanted to go back and kind of go over some of these things with you. And so, concerning who Paul met, try to find out a little bit of who he was with and where, but some of it's going to be, I think the main characters mostly, and then, the others that, it's mentioned that we don't have any way, I don't have any real way of knowing who was in that group because it hadn't been put down that way. But if it was put down where we could find out, I'll take a little look to see. And then, We're going to kind of entitle this, and this will be Study 1. And those who had association with Paul at his and after his conversion unto Christ Jesus. And so anything before that, and I want to just say this, but anything before that and those things that he was involved with is important for sure, but not as important, I think, as the knowledge that he got from God after he was struck down on the Damascus Road, because everything before that, he was in another world, if you will, with his knowledge of God and what God wanted him to do. Now he was knowledgeable of Scripture for a long time because of his education, and I think this was one reason why that. God chose him for this job that he got to fill up Scripture with these last seven epistles that he wrote. And quite naturally so, because I don't know of anyone else that had the fortitude or the ability to do this, because it seems like that all the prophets that God had chosen down in the Old Testament Scriptures, they didn't meet a good fate. And I guess Paul did not meet a good, real good fate either, but he was finished, and he knew he was finished, and he was ready to be poured out or offered up. And in that case, I wanted to go back to the Damascus Road incident and just look and see for several verses of how many was mentioned there or what was mentioned there concerning who he'd seen and what their association was. Where he went to when he was picked up on the road and carried into somebody's house. Now, what if somebody came to your house and said, look, we got somebody that's either been lightning struck or something out here. There's some reason they're damn blind and can't see. Can we bring him into your house? And think about the time limitations here. The time that this happened was way early in the annals of good medicinal usages of things that we have now that they wouldn't have had then. And
good question. The study tonight, does it start a new series, or is it still going to be part of the wisdom series?
Well, I don't have Jack's books anymore, but I'm doing it from what I have otherwise, and the scriptures.
So how do you want it listed on the website when we have to title it? I guess that's the reason.
Well, I want to have to find out as much as I can about the associates that were with Paul, and where he picked them up, and where they stayed with him, or where they left.
So you want to count this as a new series?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's the answer, Tippy.
To that
situation.
And I want to include myself. I want to include myself in this study. Because there may be people that never met me, didn't know any origin or anything. So I've got some of that already put forth too. But I also met Paul in Scripture, and I'd like for people to know a little bit about that too. So here we go. Turn with me, and the most logical place is to go back to Acts 9. Now, Paul showed up a little earlier than that as Saul of Tarsus, and he showed up when they had a little dispute there in Acts about the early church, and in that situation, they chose people who would help with the business of the church at that time early on, and so you remember Philip and whenever they took him out and stoned him because of what he believed.
Stephen,
okay. And doing a little bit of this by memory because I didn't go back that far to look into it, but I went back that far to find out a little information, but from Stephen and Paul, or Saul, as they called him at that time, held his cloak or his coat while they stoned him to death. And so Acts 9:1 picks up, 1 and 2 picks up with that, because this was a little bit later. It wasn't quite. It was just before Saul was struck blind on the Damascus Road, but I need to go there to find out a little bit about that, because I've been in Acts several times in these last, since 1971. It's been, what, 53, 4 years now. But there's still questions that I have. And so that's where we want to start tonight. Turn with me to Acts 9. That's on page 1598 if you have a companion Bible. And if you don't, on these two pages that we're going to look at here in chapter 9, we're going to get a little information about these people that were with Paul, along with the fact that the Lord had this man to come and pray for Saul so he could get his sight back. And then other things happened too. And we might have mentioned it. You might know it. This might not be news to you. But let's just go back over a little bit and see what we can find out here. And it said, and Saul, Acts 9:1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Got a question for you. Who was the high priest at this time? Got any idea off your head who he was? Okay.
I don't remember.
We won't hold you up any longer. I'll just tell you. Okay. So he said, Saul went unto the high priest. Okay.
Was it Caiaphas?
Nope. The high priest at that day was Ananias. A man named Ananias. And there's five Ananiases here, but one of them is not Ananias with an S on the end in the English. It's got an H on the end. And that was the first one listed in the Strong's. So I didn't count that one, so I marked a number one around Ananias. And you can find it if you want to look for it. It mentions it in Acts 23:2 and 24:1. And he went there this was the high priest now of the Council of 80 plus the high priest. That was the one that the Romans had given the Jewish people control over what they believed, and he was the one that was supposed to keep the unity and the control of the people and would report it to the people that was over God's people in that day, the Jews. Okay? In verse 2, and it says, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. That is a pretty large statement there in itself. But so, Saul, which we know as Paul, he went to the high priest and he said, look, I'm going to make a trip to Damascus and I'm going to go there and if I find anybody of this way, which were dealing with Jesus, he said, I want letters. Well, these letters is what we call...
Not much freedom of religion there, was it?
These letters is what we would call then John Doe warrants. And myself being a magistrate for 7.5 years, and when I went down there to get a little training, which wasn't much training, they give you a little authority and a set of books and say, okay,
have fun.
You learn. Okay. And so, but what they did say there is not to fill out a warrant for someone without testimony and the charge. Okay. That somebody needs to come to you and say, I need a warrant for this person. And I need a charge. This is,
you can't give them a blank check.
No, it's not something like that. So Paul didn't have any way of filling out things because he didn't know who he was going to meet. And so they says, don't write no John Doe warrants. That was one of the things, right pretty much straight off the bat, that they said, no, Don't do that. Because then everything you write will get thrown out as soon as if it goes to a higher court, it'll be probably thrown away at that point in time. So this was what, but this, in this day, this is what they could do. They could, these letters or these pieces of paper that they could fill out. If Paul or Saul met any of these people, he had the authority to put their name on the paper and to hold them and to bring them back to Jerusalem for to be brought before the high priest. Okay, so that's basically what we're talking about here in this situation. And Paul, he was like a lawyer himself. He had been trained under a man that would have been our Supreme Court justice, if you will. And so he knew the law, and that these people were supposed to live by, but also he didn't agree with what they were teaching because he didn't understand what God's plan and purpose was at that particular time. And so he persecuted the church, and he says he did, in more places than one. And so that's chapter 9, verse 1 and 2 are important with information that we now have and see as to him going forth for doing just this particular thing. He was going to Damascus to find people who was teaching Jesus, and he was going to bind them, whether they were men or women, and bring them back to Jerusalem to stand before Ananias, the high priest. Okay? And it says in verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and he hadn't made it. Evidently, he had made it to one of the two gates. Now, Damascus, Syria, is probably the oldest city still standing that we know of in the world. It's one way in, one way out. There's two gates. And the main street in Damascus runs straight down through the city. And the rest of the city is walled. Okay, what do you call a walled city in the days over there, in that day, in the Hebrew? Okay, that's
Kirjath.
Kirjath. It is a Kirjath. A Kirjath is a wall fortified city that has gates that are manned by people, and you got to get permission to go or not go. And so this, he was getting close to the city on one end. I'm not going to say which end because I didn't look that up. So he says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. So evidently, it was something that was more than the noonday sun, because it outshined what it is you and I need to live by. And to have is the light.
The light.
The light.
Yeah.
So it was the light, not a light, but the light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, we got a little information there, a little more information. He heard the voice. saying. But he had people with him that we don't know who they are. Or I don't know who they are. But he had a little group of people that he was with.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing that if he had read the Jewish law and he had read about God, then when the message come to him and says, "Saul, Saul, whoa, wait a minute. This is how God deals with man. When he wants to get attention, the word is doubled." Okay, so this tripped Saul's mind at that time. He said, "Oh man, something's going on here." Because this voice said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Well, did Paul not know who he was persecuting? No, maybe not, but he found out.
He quit.
And so he had a little indication of what was going on here. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord? Lord, is this you? What, you know, the owner of this world? Is this you?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks?" So he says, "Okay, are you doing very good at this work?" He said, "If you are, it's going to get harder."
Kind of a fair warning, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So he admitted that it was the Lord. Not, you know, and I'm not saying he wasn't a believer, but he was beginning to get his orientation into becoming a chosen vessel. And he trembled. Guess why? You know, he trembled. Oh, he was shook up and astonished and said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Question mark. That's in verse 6. So he met the Lord. Even Jesus, and he was blinded by the light, but at that minute he did not know it yet. He didn't know he was blind yet. Okay, so, and he says, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Well, he has already made a question to the God of the universe. "Well, you got my attention now. What do you want me to do?"
Yeah.
He had enough sense to recognize and to understand that. And the Lord said unto him, in verse 6, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Okay, he said, "Arise." Well, when he started to get up, he couldn't see. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, they hearing a voice. And I'm not sure they understood the language. They heard a voice, but they couldn't make it out. They were still in a fog themselves. But they saw no man. They heard the voice speaking, but they saw no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. And he realized at that point he was blind. He couldn't see. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. So he was on the outside of the walled city. But they were going in the city, so evidently that group who he was with were allowed to come into the gate. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Okay, so 3 days and three nights. That give you any clue as to what's about to take place here? Or what the deal is with the 3 days and three nights?
Picture.
As Jonah was in the belly of the fish.
Yep.
Paul was in this man's house when they got him inside. Verse 10. So, we went through up to verse 9 here. So we get into verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. A certain disciple is a chosen one. He wasn't there just to be there. He was there to do something. God had alerted him. And his name was Ananias also.
Got a lot of them.
Okay. And to him said the Lord, now the Lord is speaking to Ananias in a vision. See, a vision is something you can see, but you can't, you may not understand it, but you can see it because it's before you like a dream, in a sense. And he said, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Well, he is a disciple of God. So he knows something about the early church. He knows something about what had happened. And he says, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. And the reason the street was called Straight, it went straight through the middle of the city. And inquire or ask in the house of Judas. Oh. Another name. For one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Okay, so the Lord is dealing with Ananias to straighten Paul's eyes out to where he can get around. And so they took this guy, they took Saul into the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for he prayeth. Well, there's several Judases in the book. And there's seven by name, Judas. The first one that you're going to meet when you get into the Strong Concordance is Judas Iscariot. He's the one that betrayed Christ. But there are six other Judases there, and this is one of them that were mentioned. And Judas evidently had a house there, and they let them guys bring in a blind man and put him down in there to be cared for 3 days and three nights. Now, I don't know if they asked, I don't know if they had this information at that time or not. But he says he prayeth and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias, which is the same Ananias that the Lord was talking to, coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So Ananias now knows what he's there for. He's there to pray for this Saul. But Ananias said, oh man, not this dude. Because he knows why he was there, evidently. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And I don't know how he come about this, but he says, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. So Ananias had been given a little information, evidently, along, or had gleaned it in some fashion. But it's the same Ananias. He said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Three things.
It's four, actually. And he was going to show him what he's going to have to suffer.
Yeah. But this was the three things in that breath. And he says in 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So actually, it was the four things. But with all these others here, when he was before some of the Gentiles, when he was before kings, and when he was before or involved with the children of Israel, those three made up the ones that God wanted him to deal with, and they all put some suffering on the apostle when he became the apostle. In the things he must suffer. And so that's down through 16. Well, let's look at 17. And he said, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, Saul. And he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus. He wouldn't call him Christ at this point because he did not know to. Because Jesus was the one in Luke that was said that they would, that he would be the one that would come to his own. And Paul has heard this prayer and he said, well, he's going to include more than his own here. So, Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way. So, he knows it was Jesus that he met without even thinking about it anymore, I think. That appeared in thee in the way as thou camest, sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, he's already met Jesus, but here he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is already right ready to get involved with two of the three of the Godhead, the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so, Ananias, when he was in Damascus as being the chosen one, was number two. In the house of Judas, and Judas was number three. And he was in Damascus, filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is number four. And immediately they fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And we do not know. I do not know who baptized him. But evidently, while he was there and while he was getting his food and getting his strength back, he felt it necessary to be baptized.
And he had already received the Holy Ghost, so it wasn't the Holy Ghost baptism, at least
no,
at that point.
Yeah. So it was according to the law of what he done.
Water baptism.
What he done. Yeah. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And it doesn't say food, but he received protein. He had gotten some protein. And 19 is a very telling verse of Scripture. 18 and 19 together were. Okay. So he was strengthened. Then Saul was certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And we don't know all that entailed, but he was there, I guess, with those guys that brought him into the house, and he was there probably with Judas's family, or who was in the house there. And certain days here gives us a great insight into something that went on here, because certain days let's see, certain days in many are used here in verse 23. Certain days are just a short time, but many days can run into years. So, Saul, he got better right away as far as strength goes. And he was with him there at Damascus. But when you look at verse 23.
Interesting conversations.
Huh?
I bet those were some interesting conversations.
Yeah. And he says, with the disciples that were at Damascus, and straightway, or almost immediately, he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. I think 20 should have been Jesus too, because in the synagogue, that's who they were looking for, is Jesus. But you see, between 19 and 20, something happened. And he preached to those that were with him there, and we don't know who they are. But all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not he that destroyed them, which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest?" Okay, so this was done basically without any fanfare while he was there at Damascus getting his strength back. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Galatians. And I want to go to Galatians 1. And I didn't know how much time I was going to have, so I've got a little bit of time from what I wanted to cover, so we'll cover this in a little fuller state than we would have if we hadn't the time. But here's Paul in the book of Galatians, and we want to go to Galatians 1, and I want to go to 5 and read a little from 5 or 6. In 6, Paul says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Now this is, according to the notes here in Galatians, this is right after the book of Romans. But as it is in the scripture, a lot of times you can't find the answers to your questions unless you go somewhere else. This book is written this way purposely, that you have to study to show thyself approved unto God. So Paul is talking back toward those Romans and says these things. He says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, and we say it now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Verse 13, "For ye have heard of my conversation, manner of life, in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals, in mine own nation, being much more exceedingly jealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, which is the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Full stop. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and I went back to the city of Damascus. Then after 3 years, this is the other deal that he mentions about not certain days, but many days. Here's the many days. Verse 18. Now I got written Acts 9:19 and Acts 9:20 in my Bible. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Okay, so there is a 3 year gap here between verse 19 and 20. So you see, when Paul got up after he preached to the guys around in there a little bit, he got up and he could go right out the gate. And he went into Arabia. How long did he stay into Arabia? Anybody know? I don't. I haven't got there yet.
If it's the typical probationary period, it could have been 40 days.
Well, it probably was. Yeah. See? So, we got a 3 year gap here that we're going to have to fill in, maybe. Okay, let's go back to Acts 9 and look at this thing again a little bit. It said, but Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwell at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled. This was the 3 years. The Jews took counsel to kill him. Full stop. Okay. Paul came back to a walled city and walked right back into the city because they did not know what had happened in the city before he left. And he did not know that God was dealing with Paul that way. And when he come back, even regardless of how he looked, they let him back in just the way he was when he left. It wasn't a big deal to them. But it was a big deal. And it certainly was. And it said they were laying in wait for him. Who were the they? And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples, so we know who some of them were, they were Ananias and others, took him by night and led him down by the wall or outside the wall, over the wall, in a basket. And so, that night. And the governor there, under Aretas, kept the city with a garrison. This Aretas was Herod's father-in-law, upon whom he made war, because Herod had abandoned his daughter for his brother Philip's wife. Herodotus, perhaps, to do the Jews a pleasure, like Felix Aetius endeavored to seize Paul. So they were going to seize Paul. They were going to do the Jews, give them a little justice. They were going to take care of Paul. But that's how he got out of the city. And now, he was in that city for 3 years. He came back and preached to them 3 years before he ever left the city of Damascus. He was gone, probably as Ronish is, generally 40 days, because that's normally a probationary period of the things that God deals with. And boy, did I use my hour up.
It don't
pay well. And yeah, there was a 3 year difference. But guess what? Paul never, when he did get over the city in a basket, he left, but he didn't leave with his warrants. We don't know what happened to the John Doe warrants or those that never got filled out. But what had happened before in the life of the Apostle Paul, he never forgot. And so therefore,
part of what made him what he was.
He had it on his face every day. And those that looked at him probably were wondering, because it even says in Zechariah, talking about, well, Zechariah told him, said, well, it'd be 400 years, you won't have another prophet. He said, when one comes, he'll have nail prints in his hand. And when you ask him, where did he get them? And he will tell you, I was with friends. But these friends were the one that had him crucified.
Amen.
That's about, what, 13, 14 chapter of Zechariah. There was another prophet that was living beside, after Zechariah at that time, but he didn't live long after Zechariah did. And in the next book in your Bible is Matthew. And you see, so there wasn't a prophet available when this baby was born in Bethlehem, put in a stable and a feed trough, wrapped in his mother's death clothes, should she died when he was birthed. But he was put in grave clothes in that manger. And those that come and witness this, if they'd have thought about it a little bit, could have known a little more about what was going on, but they had enough knowledge to send the wise men in another direction when they left. And that was a time after he was born. And so, Christ wound up back, Jesus wound up back, or he wound up in Egypt for a little while, till all this kind of blowed over. And so here we are. We've opened the Pandora's box. Now, how full we can fill it, I don't know, but we'll do a little try.
It might last another 2.5 years, 3 years.
It could. Who knows? But that's kind of what I wanted to get started with. Now, how far the Lord let me go in it, I have no idea. But I'm headed toward 86 years old, so... You can just take it for that, because as long as the Lord will let me, I'll do it. When I get to where I can't, I say, Lord, I got to turn it over to somebody. So, but I've been doing this for a long time, and even in these last seven epistles that Paul penned, took better than 4 years. So we'll go from this, and I hope I kind of made it clear as to what was going on here and to those that he had met. But you see, we don't have the record of the disciples that were there every time. We will have some that were there, and we don't have all of the people that were against Paul, but we do have some of them. But we'll have to move around in Scripture to find this, because this is the way the Word's written. And you don't normally get it in one place. A lot of them have the same name. Now, the guy that had the house there was, they were seven names there that were listed in the Strong. They had had Judas's name, and so there were seven of them listed there, but I only listed the ones that were listed in Acts at that particular time. So you can go back to the Strong's, and you can generally get the names of the ones that are there to some extent without a whole lot of problems. But sometimes you'll have to go to several different places to find what the situation was. There was another Ananias there and a Sapphira in Acts 5. And they were the ones that sold their place and kept back part of the money and then lied to Peter about it, because at that time Saul had not met Peter. And so I didn't get involved with that little thing. But when Peter said to Ananias that you lied to the Holy Spirit, you didn't lie to me, you lied to the Holy Spirit, these guys coming through the door gonna carry you out and bury you. And then when Sapphira come back, he done the same thing where he said, did you say you sold the place for so much? He said, yeah. He said, well, why did you lie to me? Or why did you lie to the Spirit? And he said, the men that carried your husband away going to carry you away. And so that Ananias died at that point, and so his wife Sapphira did too. So it wasn't no use to bring that name up again, but it is in Holy Writ. And so that's kind of the way we're going to have to do this, to keep it into some kind of normalcy to make it work out. So thank you for being with me and getting involved in this and kind of let me have a feeling some way or another if this is what you want to pick up and take up. Because some people may not have ever had too much knowledge in the book of Acts. And I'm not going to make the book of Acts quite a pivotal point, but sometimes you got to go somewhere else to get these.
Especially when you're looking for people and times and dates and locations, accents, all that.
Yeah. Yeah, in other books you got to go to too to find out who was there, you know. Yeah. And just like Paul was in the last chapter of his letter to Timothy saying, you know, with all these people, I need this one or that one or the other one, or I did this with one or the other. And that's the way that works out. So God bless. And if that's okay with everybody, we'll continue on. But I wanted to lay this out first because I wanted to explain a little bit about how I got to where I am in God's Word. Not that it's any big deal, but to me and my family, it is a big deal. And it'll help you answer. It'll answer some of your questions about, you know, how this kind of came down. And I've mentioned it a little bit from time to time in the study, but it won't take long. And we might do that in little sections too. So thank you for your attention and your love, and pray for